Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. We are now scheduled to hear our third matter scheduled for oral argument today, and it is the matter of the welfare of the child of CAE and JDB. You will each have 15 minutes to present your argument. You will see your time indicated in the tile on your screen. It is important that you state your name and identify the party you represent because we are making an audio recording of this hearing, and that is the only recording that is permitted under our rules. So with that, counsel for appellant, Mr. Cluver, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Attorney Douglas Dean Cluver, and I represent the appellant Joseph Bender in this matter. This matter involves a termination of parental proceeding that was preceded by a CHIPS. Mr. Bender, my client, had his parental rights terminated. Prior to the termination, however, Mr. Bender and his significant other, the mother, were on a trial home visit with the child. As the trial home visit moved along, there was a report to CPS that my client had used, or actually the parents had used, their medical marijuana in the presence of the child, and that the child had tested would be positive for THC as a result of this medical marijuana. There was also an allegation of domestic abuse. In response, the parents immediately undertook to see a counselor regarding the alleged domestic abuse, which was never substantiated or proven in any way, but the parents denied that abuse, but agreed to go to this counseling anyway, which they successfully completed. In response to the child testing positive for the THC, my client just decided to stop using his medical marijuana altogether, despite this fact. The state terminate or the county terminated the trial home visit and refused to restart that trial home visit.
Mr. Clover, do you challenge the district court's determination that the county made reasonable efforts to address the issues that led to the out-of-home placement?
No, Your Honor, I believe they did make reasonable efforts in this case, and I believe that those reasonable efforts were by and large very successful. There was this discrepancy or mix-up with this medical marijuana at the end, but at the end of the case during that trial home visit. But I believe that the parents successfully addressed that medical marijuana issue. And certainly, I don't think that the county really divided up between the father's action in this case and the mother's actions in this case. I don't think it's disputed by anybody that the mother was vaping the medical marijuana, but my client, the father, was not vaping medical marijuana.
But counsel, the concern is that, I mean, although I do not want to discredit or undermine in any way the progress that, Mr. Bender made towards his treatment and recovery. I mean, notwithstanding the implementation of the safety plan, the child was continuing to be exposed and testing positive for controlled substances. So, I mean, that is a concern that the district court expressed, and as a basis for the termination. Are you contesting that?
I'm contesting that that's sufficient. I think that if we know what happened here, we know that there was medical marijuana usage, and the child gained an exposure through that medical marijuana usage. What we don't know is that this THC is dangerous for the child, such exposure. We
you're
just
saying
don't...
that the exposure to THC, I think the child was what, 2 years old at the time?
Yes.
that's not dangerous?
I think that we have to be careful when we start going in and saying what's dangerous and what's not based on no evidence. There was no expert who was in there who said that a child's exposure to THC in any way damages this child. I'm not qualified to make an expert decision that way, but I don't think the court is either. And I think the court.
Well, I mean, I think the legislature did. I mean, the legislature is, I mean, currently THC is a controlled substance. It was certainly a controlled substance at the time the child was exposed to it and tested positive for it.
Well, right. But what the court has, or what the county has to show, is this child is in danger. No matter what the legislature is saying about THC or not.
Why is it not per se dangerous for a 2-year-old to be testing positive for a controlled substance?
Because that's just not the legal standard, Your Honor. The standard is, does a parent's use interfere with their ability to parent? That's what the case law provided. That's what we're supposed to be looking at, not all this other stuff, but does it interfere with the parent's ability to parent? Well, in my client's case, there was no evidence that he was the one that exposed this child to THC in the first place. So that not being willing to parse out
who the... Both parents were using medical marijuana, right, at the time of the trial home placement?
The father was using gummies, but they were using medical marijuana pursuant to their prescription, and there was no evidence that they weren't.
And the county developed a safety plan with them to make sure that their use around the child was safe, and they didn't comply with it. Why isn't that a dangerous situation that father had a part in creating?
Well, what was father's part? This is this leap that the county and the court is making to, well, what was his part? Well, what exactly was his part? That wasn't defined.
Why is it not a fair inference for the district court to conclude that father's part was a failure to keep the child safe and free of exposure to marijuana?
Because that would be, the father isn't responsible for keeping the child safe from everything that's out there. We know asbestos is bad for the child. We don't even test the child for that, yet he lives in a home. We know lead paint's terrible for a child. We know secondhand smoke is terrible for a child. We know radon is terrible for a child.
But these parents' history with child protection isn't because they lived in a home that had radon or asbestos. It was because of continual ongoing drug use, domestic abuse that went along with that. So in my mind, it's not a stretch for, you know, keeping the child safe from exposure to controlled substances would be something I think that is a reasonable ask, isn't it?
I believe it's a reasonable ask. I'm just looking at it in terms of evidence. Now we have, because there was an accusation of some unidentified third party that there was domestic abuse, now we have a domestic abuse case. We don't. That was something that was never proven on these children, never substantiated at all. Yet because that allegation was there, it's taken as fact by the court. And this is kind of a problem here, where when a county says something, who is a party to these proceedings, somehow that becomes a fact without anything else. But if a party testifies something, well, that's just self-serving testimony. And this case runs along those lines, where we're not supposed to be looking way back at what happened in the past. We're supposed to be looking at what happened now. They were in a trial home visit. They had a problem with the medical marijuana and the way they use, but these parents, they don't always live like you and I live. They have usually substandard housing. It's wintertime. They can't go to different parts of the house necessarily to vape, and they understand that vaping caused that problem, so they did take action about it. But if we hold these parents up to this standard, and the standard that's almost unachievable, or I shouldn't say that, because they do achieve it, they do take the measures that they have to take, but when it's just never good enough, we're supposed to be here reuniting families and seeing if we can keep them together, and them modifying their behavior seems like what we want them to do, modifying their behavior as far as this medical marijuana. And my client just stopped using medical marijuana altogether, even though he was using gummies. But I think that it's important for the court to separate that dad got terminated here because mom vaped around the child. And that, my understanding is that shouldn't be happening, that we should look at what each of these parents did on their own to determine whether these reasonable efforts worked. I believe that there may be some work to do on this case, but I think that this child should not be deprived her parents simply because of this medical marijuana vaping that we seem to have addressed and are ready to move forward. But there was a wall or decision made by the county that we're just not going to go any further with these parents. And it was a termination of choice. It wasn't a determination of necessity. And I just don't think we should be in that business.
Also, as a practical matter, you're referring obviously to your client, the father, who, as you say, used gummies, and you acknowledge the mother vaped apparently around the children. You're suggesting, I think, obviously, that the father shouldn't have his rights terminated. But what would that mean for the child if the mother is still vaping?
Well, if the mother stopped vaping at the time, and obviously the mother should stop vaping. I believe the mother did.
Sure, she should. But I mean, I guess what I'm getting at it is, does that mean the parents split and the father would have custody because he's not doing anything wrong, but the mother is?
Yes. That if the mother doesn't comply and the mother is reckless, she can't be around the child, then the father should still be able to be with the child. That is what I'm suggesting, Your Honor. Yeah. If there's no further questions, I'll yield my time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Haugen, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Matthew Haugen, and I'm the Chippewa County Attorney. I represent Chippewa County Family Services in this matter. Chippewa County respectfully disagrees with the assertion that Chippewa County Family Service hasn't met its statutory basis here. And I think it's important to go back to the statutory basis when looking to see whether this appeal should be granted or denied. It is the position of Chippewa County Family Services that the three-pronged test that the court must look at has been met. That three-pronged test includes, first, that there be a statutory basis for termination. In this matter, Chippewa County Family Services petitioned in their TPR petition for two separate bases. The court ultimately found under 260C.301 subdivision 1 paren B paren 5 that there was a statutory basis. They did not find under the other one that there was a statutory basis. The second element being that the termination must be in the child's best interest. And third, that the county must have provided reasonable efforts to reunite the child with the parents. As noted
Mr.
Haugen, previously,
I think this case really boils down to that first issue and whether there is a statutory basis for termination. And I have to say, looking at this record, what else could father have done to address and correct the conditions that led to the child's out-of-home placement?
I think it's important for the court to note, and I know it may not be completely fleshed out here in the order, but Chippewa County Family Services have been working with this family back in 2018. There were four children involved, and I'll give the statutory or this procedural background just so that it is clear. Initially, there was a child that was born, tested positive for controlled substances. Ultimately, that led to a voluntary termination. There were two other children that initially were part of a separate CHIPS action that ultimately had a pending CHIPS action when this new child, which is the subject of this action, was born. As part of that CHIPS action for the second and third child, going back to 2018, Chippewa County Family Services was working with the family. The issue back then was controlled substance use and the children testing positive. I think that's important because that is the condition leading to the out-of-home placement. I think one of the assertions that appellant makes is that THC should somehow be treated different. And maybe in popular culture today and where things are going, THC is being treated different than maybe other drugs as methamphetamines. It was clear that Mr. Bender's drug of choice generally was methamphetamines and that mother's choice at times was methamphetamines, but marijuana. But one thing that was brought up at trial and had been discussed throughout the case by the district court judges, just because something is legal still doesn't mean that you can do it. For example, if a parent can purchase alcohol, that doesn't mean that they should consume alcohol and use alcohol in a way that makes them be in a position where they are the caregiver for the child, or use alcohol in a way that it somehow gets into the child's system. So
I don't disagree with you. And I do think there is some element of it's just marijuana, not other drugs. But here, I think the record is clear. Father testified that he has not used even medical marijuana since the trial home placement was disrupted, and testing bears that out. How has he individually not complied or not done everything he could to address the conditions that led to this particular out-of-home placement?
And I respectfully disagree with the assertion that he did not testify or admit that he used medical marijuana after the trial home visit. On page 19 of the court's order, paragraph 199, the court makes the finding, Mr. Bender only used the vape pen in the basement or in the bedroom. The child did not have access in which he vaped. Paragraph 200, Ms. Eastman used the same space for vaping. And so I think there was a progression initially, and the parties, as my understanding, got the medical marijuana certificate in January 2022. So I think there was use after the trial home visit started in February 2022 of this medical marijuana in the home in a way that exposed the child to marijuana that ultimately resulted in it turning up in the child's hair follicle test. The other thing about the medical marijuana that was fleshed out at trial, it wasn't just that the child may ingest or somehow be exposed to the marijuana. It was also important for the court and for Chippewa County Family Services when developing that case plan in early 2022, after determining that there was a medical marijuana certificate, that the parents arranged so that one parent was only using the medical marijuana at a time, so that a person that was using medical marijuana, which clearly influences the ability to parent for a child, that only one parent at one time was using that. And I don't think the testimony by Mr. Bender, appellant, and mother was clear on how they arranged that based on the father's work schedule so that only one parent was. So to answer the court's question, I think there's many things the father could have done. Medical marijuana could have been used in a different manner. Ultimately, they testify that they started using throat lozenges. Chippewa County Family Services never disagreed that they received a medical marijuana certificate, but Mr. Bender never admitted into trial or offered into trial any information that he had received about why it had to be a vape or some type of vapor form to use the medical marijuana as compared to the lozenges. But even if he had used the throat lozenges at trial, it was still an issue who was going to care for the children. So I think to the court's question, what he could have done is stop having himself use medical marijuana in a way that exposed the child, or use medical marijuana in a way that didn't expose the child, or as to what the other judge had noted, look at moving out or separating himself from the mother if she's going to continue to use it. I don't think we can have a situation where a parent
counsel. It seems to me that the evidence at trial was that dad satisfied part one of that, right? That he stopped using medical marijuana and marijuana altogether, but that the real problem was that he did not ensure the safety of the child in other contexts, such that the child was not exposed to marijuana. So that the child may be around mom while mom is using, and dad did not protect the child or ensure the safety of the child in that context, which is also part of the reason for the original out-of-home placement. Is that fair?
Fair to a point, Your Honor. At paragraph 209 of the court's order, it indicates that Mr. Bender continued to test positive for marijuana in April 2022. It doesn't say 22, but that's really the year. The trial home visit ended on March 21st when the test results were received. So I do think there is a time period after the trial home visit ended that medical marijuana continued to be used. Mr. Kluver and attorney for mother brought a specific request to the court asking the court to restart that trial home visit in the summer of 2022. Chippewa County Family Services disagreed with that, Your Honor. As of the court's order, it was 409 days the child had been placed out of the home. So this is a situation where they've been working with the family for some time. The child continued to test positive, and it would have required the father to have, I'm assuming, an updated CUA to ensure that he was following, or that he was in a situation where he wouldn't continue to use controlled substances in a way that is inconsistent with the law. So I don't necessarily agree with the assertion that father had done everything. It was mother that wasn't doing what she needed.
So let me interrupt for a minute, because I have a question regarding the argument of your opponent that the court focused much more on the past in its findings, conclusions of law, than it did as to the future. The father, unlike a lot of these cases we see, did make quite a few efforts, particularly through the CHIPS phase. Would you agree with that? Completion of outpatient treatment, negative results for the trial home visits, completion of couples counseling, discharge from psychotherapy. There were efforts being made. Now, I guess my question is, why terminate under those circumstances? Is it just based on past history? I mean, isn't this still a man who's trying to keep custody of that last child?
I would agree that it is a father trying to keep custody of a child, Your Honor. But we've been working with this family for 4 years, going back to 2018. And we are coming up to the timelines, Your Honor. We're at 335 days. We have to file a termination of parental rights, Your Honor. So I think the court has to weigh the efforts being made by the father to try and address these conditions leading to the out-of-home placement with what I understand to be a decision by the legislature that we don't want these situations where children are in out-of-home placements for extended periods of time. So I think that is a decision the legislature has made, and that is a decision that Chippewa County Family Services had to look at, and we are obligated to follow under the statute, Your Honor, that we did run out of time. And it wasn't a situation where the court was going to order that trial home visit to restart. And ultimately, I think it was a situation where the efforts had been made, Your Honor, over 4 years, and we still had a child testing positive for controlled substances.
The problem I have with the out-of-home placements when they drag out like this is that they become self-fulfilling. I mean, in other words, they lead to termination based on the length of time that's gone by without regard at times to the efforts that are being made currently. But I think you've explained to me why that is in your county.
Your Honor, I will tell you this is one of the hardest cases I've had. Mr. Bender and Ms. Eastman were a success story for us in 2021. When we returned the children, it made no one more happy than myself than to see the three children return home. And what I say to that is there was the second child and the third child and then the child of this action. The third child was never adjudicated as part of that final CHIPS, but they were returned home. I can still remember when I got the call in August 2021 that Mr. Bender had, there was concerns that Mr. Bender was using. That is not what Chippewa County Family Services wanted, Your Honor. This was a situation where we had reunited back in 2021. Mind you, this child was not a part of that CHIP. We filed the CHIPS petition, but it was never actually adjudicated. We did work with the family. We've done it, but we still do have to weigh that against the timelines that are presented to us by the statute, Your Honor. And this is not a decision that we took lightly, but I think the court and the legislature has looked at what's also in the best interest of the children. I mean, the third element of that third prong or that two prong test or the second element is what's in the child's best interest. The court on page 20 to 22 makes very specific findings about why they believe the termination is in the child's best interest. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Kluver, you have the last word.
Thank you, Your Honor. After the child home visit was terminated, there was an expectation that the trial home visit would resume when the mother and father went to the counseling, addressed the allegation of domestic abuse, and addressed however they're using their medical marijuana. There was a clear expectation by the court and everyone that this trial home visit would resume. There was no termination that was ordered by the court. Instead, the county took it upon itself to initiate termination in this matter, despite that expectation. And so I think it's wrong to say that it was just ran out of time. Child protection does often has this discretion as to when to start and stop. And what we see a lot of times in these cases is the clock simply being run to the end. And we don't even get to trial home visit until we're at the very end of the case, and there's no urgency to get there, so that timelines will become a factor. I see it in cases over and over again, and it's rather disturbing that there's no urgency to get on to a trial home visit until the very end of a case. I don't think that it's fair to judge the father or say that the father didn't protect this child. That the father needs to work. He can't be there 24 hours a day and to watch what the mother's doing. And I think that standard that he is responsible no matter what happens with this other parent. I don't think that's a standard that the parent can meet.
Let me ask about that. So there is a safety plan in place, and I agree that these are challenging circumstances, and I understand the circumstances in this particular case. But when dad goes away to work and he knows that mom is still using marijuana, medical marijuana, and is still vaping, and the child is in the house, what responsibility do you think the father has to protect the safety of the child under those circumstances when he knows that there's a safety plan to which he has agreed that's going to be determinative of the outcome of this termination proceeding?
I think I don't believe that the father knew that the mother was vaping in the presence of the child. I don't believe there's any evidence that he was ever aware of that.
He knew that she was vaping in the house.
I don't know that he knew she was vaping in the house. I don't see that in the record that he knew she was vaping after he had decided that he wasn't going to do that anymore. But in any event, it is the court that put this child on trial home visit with the mother. It wasn't the father that did that. So I don't think it's fair to put it all on the father. Another thing I'd like to address is you can see with counsel's argument that this case constantly goes back to the past. We did this in the past, we did this in the past, and we did this in the past. The findings of the court are mainly just this happened in the past and this happened in the past. But these parents are not near the same people that they were at the beginning of this case. I was probably the only one who has been there since the beginning of this case, and they have made large strides in this case. I believe that's all I have, unless there's any other questions. Thank you for your time.
All right, seeing no questions, I thank you both for your helpful arguments. It's a tough case for all the way around, and we appreciate your good presentation of the arguments today on behalf of your respective clients. We will take the matter under advisement and issue our decision within the statutory period. Thank you both.
Thank you, Your Honor.